All right, well, we're there in 2 Corinthians, and of course, this morning we're taking a break from our series called Journey with Jesus, and I'm going to be dealing with a different subject this morning, and today, of course, is our Worker Appreciation Sunday, and we're recognizing all of the volunteers and workers here at our church, and in honor of Worker Appreciation Sunday, I always like to preach a sermon along that theme, and this morning I'm preaching a sermon entitled Productivity. And really, I'm preaching on the subject of being productive. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, of course, we have the Apostle Paul who is writing here to the church at Corinth. And he's under attack, and he's having people criticize him, and he starts to defend himself a little bit. And in verse 22, he begins to boast a little bit, and he realizes it's folly, and he realizes it's foolish to do so. But he does it to make a point. And in verse 22, the Bible says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ?" And he says there in parentheses, "I speak as a fool." He realizes that what he's doing and what he's saying is a little silly, but he's defending himself because nobody else is, so he feels the need to do it. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more." And then he makes this little statement, and I love this statement, and maybe you're the same way, or maybe we're different, I don't know, but whenever I read this passage, and whenever I read this statement, it always convicts me and motivates me. He says, "I am more," and then he says this, "in labors more abundant." In labors more abundant. He goes on to talk about how he did more. He accomplished more than other people. He says, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, and he goes on and on. But I love that little phrase there when he says, in labors more abundant. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would, you're there in 2 Corinthians, just flip back to 1 Corinthians 15. You'll notice in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, he makes another statement that's very similar to that. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. And do me a favor, when you get to 1 Corinthians, or if you're still in 2 Corinthians, keep your place there in 1 or 2 Corinthians. Put a ribbon or a bookmark or something, because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, Paul says this, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." Grace, of course, is how we're saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is God's grace that allows us to be saved. And it's interesting because Paul says we're saved by grace, which literally means we're saved and it's free. The word grace means it's free. We don't earn it. We don't work for it. But then Paul brings in this thought and he says, "But the grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain." The word vain means empty or shallow. He says, yes, my salvation was free, but when I was given grace, it was not wasted on me. He says, it was not in vain. You say, what do you mean by that, Paul? He says, here's why my salvation was not wasted on me. He says, "But I labored more abundantly than they all." And I just love that little phrase that Paul would say that. And I think we should all obviously be careful about making statements like these. You say the Apostle Paul made this statement. Yes, but he was preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So if you're speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, then go ahead and confidently say, "I labored more abundantly than they all." If you're not under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, then you might want to check your pride. But the Apostle Paul, here we know that it was true. First of all, we know it just because if you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, it's extremely evident that he was a very productive individual and that out of all the apostles, he was the most productive. But here, under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, he pens these words so we know they're true. He says, "I labored more abundantly than they all." He says, "Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." And what we know about Paul is this, that he was a very productive man. He was very productive in his life. He accomplished a lot. He got a lot done. And this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of productivity or what it means to be productive. Now, you're there in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. Keep your place there and go with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 14. If you open your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. And right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 14. I want to give you three thoughts this morning on the subject of productivity. Three thoughts regarding the subject of productivity. And if you'd like to write these down, And of course, I always encourage you to write things down and take notes. On the back of your course of the week, there's a place for you to write some things. Here's statement number one, or the first point is this. Let's talk about the meaning of productivity. The meaning of productivity. Because what I've learned is that productivity is something that is misunderstood by a lot of people. And we need to get a good definition and a biblical definition regarding productivity. What does productivity mean? And what is the meaning of productivity? Well, first of all, we need to know this. Productivity has to do with getting something done. Productivity has to do, the word productivity has to do with producing, with creating, with getting something done. So because productivity has to do with getting something done or with getting things done, that requires us getting to work. It requires us getting to work. And today people talk about work or act like work is just a bad word or a bad thing. And we as Christians really need to get a theology of works, a theology regarding works. I'm not talking about work salvation. I'm talking about working in our lives. What is it that the Bible teaches regarding the subject of work? Let's look at some verses. You're there in Proverbs 14. Look at verse 23. Proverbs 14, 23. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, in all labor, there is profit. Amen. Look, the Bible says, anytime you're working, it's a good thing. In all labor, there is profit. And that's not just referring to the fact that you're getting paid. Even when you're working and not getting paid, you're profiting. It's helpful to you. It's a good thing. He says, in all labor, there is profit. But it's interesting to me in Proverbs, he always gives us the compare and contrast. He gives us the lazy guy and the productive guy, the sloth and the worker. He says, in all labor, there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. And the idea is this, that there's always profit when you get to work. But you know, people that are always talking about what they're going to do and never actually do anything, they don't accomplish anything. They're not productive. They don't get things done. Productivity has to do with getting things done, which requires getting to work. In all labor, there is profit. You're there in Proverbs 14. Flip back to Proverbs 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Look at verse 4. Proverbs 13, 4. And let me tell you something. Today, in the society that you and I live in, with all of the entertainment that is available to people, with social media and movies and video games and everything else that's out there, we have an epidemic of laziness in this country. And we have an epidemic of laziness even among Christians. And we need people to get a theology of a work ethic and realize that God expects us to work. In all labor, there is profit, the Bible says. Proverbs 13, 4. Notice what the Bible says. The soul of the sluggard desireth and had nothing. Isn't that true? Lazy people are always talking about how they wish they had this and they wish they had that, and they have nothing. You say, why do they have nothing? Because they're hoping they win the lottery. They're hoping that some great uncle dies and leaves them $1 million. They're hoping that, they're literally hoping that a Walmart truck runs them over so that they can sue Walmart. Like, that's how lazy people think. You know how a productive person thinks? Get up, go to work, make some money, amen, develop discipline, get on a budget, save, pay off your debt. That's how hard workers think. Amen. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And the word fat there is in reference to having a lot and accomplishing a lot. He says, you know, the soul of the diligent, they're going to have the things they need, but the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse 4. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. Notice what the Bible says. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And of course we know that the love of money is the root of all evil, and we should not have a will or a desire to be rich. But the statement that's being made here is just a statement of fact, that the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Productivity has to do with getting things done, which requires us getting to work. And we need to get to the place in Christianity, and we need to get to the place at Verity Baptist Church where we see the word lazy or laziness as a bad word. Where we consider laziness, and look, let me tell you something. I don't know how well you know me or how well you know your pastor, how well you know your pastor's wife, but I will tell you, if there's one thing that just ekes us, if there's some one thing that just bothers me and that upsets me, is just looking and watching and seeing people be lazy. It's the most annoying thing in the world. And I don't, you know, if you don't like that, blame my dad. He really, my mom and my dad were hard workers, of course, and I don't know. I'm not going to say that they were workaholics. Maybe they were, but I just know this. Whenever my dad was around, we were working. Amen. You know, we were always during summer break or Christmas break or Thanksgiving break. Like, when can we get back to school so we can get a break? You know, because if my dad was off and we were off, no one was off. We were working. And he just ingrained this idea of work and work ethic and having and getting things done. And if you're going to be a productive person, the first thing you need to realize is that productivity has to do with getting things done, which requires getting to work. Now, keep your place there in Proverbs. I know you're in 2 Corinthians. Keep your place in Proverbs as well, if you would. And go to Luke chapter 10 in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 10. Let me say this, because you need to understand this. Productivity has to do with getting things done, which requires people getting to work. But let me say this as well, and this is just as important. Productivity has nothing to do with how much you do. You say, what? I thought you just said we got to get to work. Yes. But productivity has nothing to do with how much you do. Productivity has everything to do with how much you accomplish. Amen. Here's the truth of the matter, and here's what I think a lot of people don't understand, is that you can be busy all day getting nothing done. That's not being productive. You can be busy all day, I'm working all day, and here's what people will tell you. People will tell you, oh, I worked 12 hours today, I worked 14 hours today. And what they mean is they spent 12 hours in their office watching YouTube videos and getting very little work done. They'll say, oh, you'll talk to a college student, and they're like, oh, I studied for 4 hours in the library. And what they mean is they sat in a library and were talking to their friend for 4 hours. Doing things that don't produce, that don't actually accomplish anything, that's not hard work. Productivity has nothing to do with how much you do. You might be busy all day. You might be tired at the end of the day. You might be walking around and getting things done all day, but never actually getting anything done. Productivity has to do with getting things done, which requires getting to work. Productivity has nothing to do with how much you do. It has everything to do with how much you accomplish. What are the things that you are getting done? And you've got to ask yourself, if I'm going to be a productive person, what are you getting done? And the first question you got to ask is this, are you even doing the right thing? Because here's the thing, not all tasks are created equal. There are some things that are more important than other things. And productive people realize that, and productive people realize, okay, there are 10 things I could do today, but there's really only 3 things that I need to do today, 3 things that are going to get a lot done, 3 things that are going to move the needle forward in the project I'm working on or whatever I'm getting done or accomplishing. So I'm going to focus on those things. Notice there in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, we have a story. We talked about it in our Gospel of Luke series when we were in Luke chapter 10, but I want to remind you of it. We have a story of these two ladies, Mary and Martha. Luke 10:38, the Bible says, now it came to pass as they went that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Jesus is going into the house of Martha to have a meal and fellowship. Martha and Mary are putting our sisters, and they are putting this meal together, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about. Notice the words there. She was cumbered. She was overwhelmed. She was busy. She was cumbered about much serving and came to him. Came to Jesus. Now notice, she was cumbered about much serving. She was getting a lot done. I mean, I would imagine Martha was running around from here to there, from the living room to the kitchen, and moving this and moving that and getting things ready and setting the table. She was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Because her sister was helping serve and get things ready. But when Jesus got there and he began to teach, she sat down and began to hear the words of Jesus. And Martha shows up to Jesus and says, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she'd help me. And notice what Jesus says in verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Notice verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know what Jesus was saying? Jesus was saying this. All tasks are not created equal. There are some things that are more important than other things. Now here, the spiritual application is this. It's more important for you to spend time with Jesus every day than to get other menial tasks done. That's the spiritual application. But even at work, even in your daily lives, you have to realize that some things are more important than other things. And productive people realize that they're not going to get everything done. So they get the most important things done. You say, what do unproductive people do? Unproductive people try to get everything done and get nothing done. Right. Let me help you understand this. The person that gets everything done does not exist. There is no such thing as the productive person that gets everything done. That is a fallacy. That is a fairy tale. That does not exist. There are two types of people in this world, productive people and unproductive people. You say, what's the difference? Here's the difference. Productive people realize they can't get everything done, so they figure out what are the most important things that need to get done, and they get those things done. Unproductive people try to get everything done and get nothing done. Or they're really unproductive and they don't even try to get anything done. They're just lazy and they get nothing done. If we're going to be productive, we need to be the type of people who first ask ourselves the question, are we even doing the right thing? The worst thing you could do is to take the time to climb up the ladder just to get to the top and realize it was leaning on the wrong building. You need to get the Nehemiah principle in your mind. I love how Nehemiah said when they were trying to distract him, he said, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Amen. We have to make sure that we are doing the right thing. We have to make sure we're getting the right work done. But let me just say this as well. You're there in Luke. Go to John. Just flip over from Luke to John, John chapter 4. Not only do we need to make sure that we're doing the right thing, are you doing the right thing? Not all tasks are created equal. And there's a lot written on this. If you read business books, the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule, the fact that 20% of your tasks are going to accomplish 80% of the value that you need. So if 20% of your clients produce 80% of your income, it would be good for you to invest your time in those 20%. And that's true in every area of life. So productive people realize that it's not just about being busy all day. Yes, it has to do with getting things done, so you need to get to work. But it has nothing to do with how much you do. It has everything to do with how much you accomplish. And it's interesting to me because the Bible emphasizes this idea, John 4:34. I'll just give you a couple of examples. I won't take the time to go through all of them. John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Jesus talked a lot about work. One day I'm just going to preach a whole sermon called Jesus' Philosophy on Work, and we'll just go to all the passages that he speaks on work. I'm not going to do that this morning, but here's what's interesting. Here he's talking about work. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Notice what he says, and to finish his work. He said, and not to be busy at work. Now, he did say that I must be about my Father's business, but he said, I'm not just about my Father's business. He said, I'm going to be about my Father's business, and I'm going to finish his work. I'm going to get it done. On the cross, he said, it is finished. Amen. Acts 20:24. Go there real quickly. You're there in John. Just flip over to Acts 20:24. So if you're asking yourself, what does it mean to be productive? Or if you're asking the question, am I productive? Don't ask yourself, have I been busy all day? Am I busy all day? People want to boast and brag and tell you about how busy they are. I'm busy. But then you actually look at them and you're like, You're not doing anything. You're not getting anything done. Don't ask yourself, am I busy? Ask yourself, am I getting things done? Productivity has nothing to do with how much you do. It has everything to do with how much you accomplish. Acts 20:24. Here's what Paul said. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He says, I want to finish. Jesus says to finish his work. Paul said, you don't have to turn there. Paul said, you go to 2 Corinthians if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you kept your place there in 2 Corinthians. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought a good fight, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. So it has to do with what you're getting done. I like to watch people work sometimes. I feel like watching people work tells you a lot about them. And sometimes you watch people work, and it seems like they're just, I mean, you're watching them, and they're just like over here doing something, get up, and then they're over here, they're doing something. That they go have their lunch, and they eat only half their lunch, and you're like, well, man, they only ate half their lunch. But then they go, and they're working, but then they go back and finish their lunch. Then they go back to work. Then they go back and get a snack. And they're just, they're busy. And then, but then you look at, well, so what you get done all day? And it's like nothing. Busy all day doing nothing. You say, well, what would you want? Let me tell you what your boss wants. You know what he'd rather you do? Is just sit down and finish your stinking lunch. Sit down and eat your lunch and then get back to work. That's what productive people do. Productive people look at the task at hand. Hey, I got to write a sermon. I'm going to sit down for 2 hours and get this thing done. I've got to make phone calls. I'm going to line them all up, and I'm going to get on the phone, and I'm going to call this person, and then I'm going to call that person, and then I'm going to call that person. So I get through that list and get that thing done. It's time to eat lunch. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to pray. I'm going to eat, and then I'm going to get back to work. What I'm saying is this. Productive people aren't busy all day. Sometimes they're busy all day, but that's not what makes them productive. What makes them productive is that they actually get things done. They cross things off their list. Done, accomplished, that I might finish my course with joy. 2 Corinthians 8, look at verse 6. Insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he hath begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So he talks about the meaning of productivity. The meaning of productivity. What is it? Productivity has to do with getting things done, which requires getting to work. Productivity has nothing to do with how much you do. It has everything to do with how much you accomplish. So you've got to ask yourself the question, are you getting the right things done? And you also need to ask yourself this question, are you finishing what you've started? Are you getting it done? Some people are busy all day getting nothing done. Go to bed tired, saying, I was busy all day, but you didn't accomplish anything. You didn't get the ball further down the field. You didn't move the needle in any direction. Nothing was actually accomplished. You're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Go to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, after 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Ephesians 5. You've got to figure out what it is that you're supposed to be doing, what it is that brings the most value, and do it. And some people have very definitive jobs where it's very easy to clearly realize what's getting done. And some people's jobs, you know, maybe it's different. Maybe you work somewhere and you don't have a lot of definitive things, but you've got to ask yourself and figure out, how do I figure out that I'm getting things done? You know, at our church, for our staff, we hyper use to-do lists around here. And we've got to-do lists for everything. And we've got, you know, 100 different to-do lists going on at the same time. And the reason that I like to-do lists is because I don't need to have a 20-minute conversation to know what they're getting done. And I don't need to hear all the excuses or what happened. It's very easy for me to know if something got done. Is it crossed off or not? I love to-do lists because it's just like, is it crossed off? No? Yes? Don't. I don't need to know. Just let me know it's done. And in your life, I often tell my sons, I try to talk to them a lot about work and future jobs and things that they might do. You know, when it comes to sales, it's really easy Especially you guys that are in sales. Just realize that if you're busy all day shuffling paperwork and moving paper piles from here to there and then from there to there, but you're not actually selling anything, you're not going to survive. You got to figure out what are the things that are actually going to get a sale. What are the things that are actually going to get this job done? What are the things that are going to get this accomplished? You got to get to work and decide. Those of you that work, you men that work, decide, I want to be a productive employee and I want to get stuff done. So the meaning of productivity, it's getting things done, which requires getting to work, but not just being busy at work. It requires getting to work and getting things done. It has nothing to do with how much you do. It has everything to do with how much you accomplish. So now let's talk about number two, the makeup of productivity. We talked about the meaning of productivity. Let's talk about the makeup of productivity. What makes up productivity? How do people become productive? And as far as I can tell, there are two things that you need to focus on. Probably, honestly, three, but I'm not ready to speak on the third one, so I'll just focus on these two. To be a productive person, there are two things that you need to manage. One is your time, and one is your attention. A third one, which I'm not ready to speak on right now because I know some of it, but I just don't know a lot, is to manage your energy. And maybe I'll study that and learn about that and teach you about that at a different time. But let's talk about being productive by managing your time. Are you there in Ephesians? Ephesians 5. Here's what you need to understand. Your time is the most limited and valuable resource you have. The Bible speaks about time in this way. Ephesians 5:15. See then that ye walk circumspectly. The word circumspectly or circumspect means cautiously or purposefully. See then that you walk circumspectly. The word walk there is referring to the walk of your life. You need to live very cautiously and purposefully. Notice, that is the opposite as not as fools, but as wise. What's the difference between a fool and a wise person? A wise person walks circumspectly. A fool does whatever. Does whatever, whenever, with whomever. That's foolish. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Look at verse 16. Redeeming the time. The word redeeming is a term of finance. It is a financial term. It's a term that's used for money. And the idea is this, that like money, time is valuable. I mean, the world knows that. You ever heard the term, time is money? Why do people say that? Well, because the Bible says redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Because time is valuable. You say, why is time valuable? Here's why. Time is finite. Time is finite. It's limited. You don't have a lot of it on this earth. Now, one day in eternity in heaven, you'll have it forever. But on this earth, time is finite. And when things are finite, they are valuable. When things are limited, they are valuable. So the Bible says redeeming the time. Go to Colossians 4. You're there in Ephesians? Go past Philippians into Colossians. Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter 4. Look at verse 5. Colossians 4, 5. The Bible says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Notice the words, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. It's a financial term. It's a valuable term. Time is valuable because of the fact that it is limited. Time is finite, is what we need to understand. But not only is time finite, but I want you to understand this. Go to John, if you would. Do me a favor. Keep your place there in Ephesians. We're going to come back to Ephesians or Colossians. Ephesians or Colossians. Keep your finger there. We're going to come right back to it. But go to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 9. Not only is time finite, which makes it valuable, but know this, time is fleeting. Time is finite and time is fleeting. John 9:4. The Bible says, I must work. Notice what Jesus says. Here's Jesus' philosophy on work. I must work the works of him that sent me. Notice what he says. While it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says there comes a time where you can no longer work. There are times when you can work, and there are times when you cannot work. And Jesus says, because of that, because time is fleeting, he says, I must work, Jesus says, I have to work right now the works of him that sent me while it is day, while I am able to, while I have the opportunity. Why? Because the night cometh when no man can work. You got to stop asking the question. I think it's interesting. Young people always ask this question. I don't know if you've noticed this. Young people love to ask a question. You know what kids and teens, here's a question they love to ask. What time is it? What time is it? I always hear young people, I don't know why. Maybe because they don't have phones or I don't know. They don't have watches or they don't know how to tell the time. I'm not sure. But they're always asking the question, what time is it? What time is it? And even adults are always, what time is it? What time is it? You know, instead of asking the question, what time is it? You got to be asking this question, what am I doing with my time? Don't worry about what time it is. Ask yourself, what am I doing with my time? When we live with the realization that we are running out of time, do you realize that in your life? You are running out of time. Listen, mother, with those children, you've got all those kids, and you're overwhelmed, and I get that. It's difficult, and it's time-consuming, and it's hard, but let me help you understand something. You are running out of time. The biggest mistake parents make is they get this idea that they're going to be raising their kids forever. Their kids, they're just going to have their kids forever so they can go ahead and mess up and do all sorts of stupid things and it's no big deal because these kids are going to be with me forever. But the truth is, they're not going to be with you forever. They're going to be 18 one day or 19 one day or 20 one day or 30 one day. They're not going to be in your house and you're not going to be able to go back and teach them the things you should have taught them. You're running out of time. You're running out of time. Time is finite. Time is fleeting. So you know what productive people do? People who get things done, they learn to manage their time. Why? Because time is the most limited and valuable resource that you have. So stop worrying about what time it is and start worrying about what you're doing with your time. Go to Philippians chapter 3. If you kept your place in Ephesians, it's right after Ephesians, Philippians. Or if you kept your place in Colossians, because I told you too late, maybe right before Colossians, you have Philippians. Between Ephesians and Colossians, you have Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. If you're going to be a productive person, you must manage your time. But let me say this as well. You must also manage your attention. You have to manage your attention. And let me tell you something. We have never lived in a time like today where there are just systems put in place everywhere in this world to take your time, to distract you, to waste your time. Because of technology, because of screens, because of the internet, because everywhere you go, there's a screen. You have one in your car. You've got one in your back pocket. You've got seven of them in your house. Everywhere you turn, and these companies have created these sophisticated algorithms to make sure they can get your attention. Because you clicked on one thing you liked, and then they went and found everything that could pertain to that one thing. Because you watched one video about shooting, and then they found the gun you like and everything that goes with that gun, and they're just constantly putting that in front of you and putting all these shiny things in front of you. Get you distracted. And then you wonder why you don't get anything done. Let me tell you something. Some of you aren't going to like this, but some of you need to just quit social media. Right. And just get rid of it. Be done with it. How would I live? I don't know. How did people live like for thousands of years? But then I won't know what my best friend from kindergarten was doing. You don't need to know what your best friend from kindergarten was doing. That's weird. You don't need to know all that. You don't need to know what your best friend's cousin's neighbor had for lunch. That doesn't matter. Philippians 3:13. And look, and if you don't, you say, well, you understand, Pastor, I'm an influencer. Do me a favor, get off of social media for 1 month and see if anybody even notices. Or if anybody even cares. Philippians 3:13, brethren, here's what Paul says. I count not myself to have apprehended. Notice what he says. Here's a productive man. I labored more abundantly than they all. I've accomplished a lot. I've gotten a lot done. He says, but this one thing I do. Notice Paul doesn't say these four things I dabble in. He says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. He says, I press toward the mark. Notice, it's purpose. It's focus. He's got a mark. He's got a target. He's got a goal. He's got something he's trying to get done. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You don't have to turn there. In Luke 9:62, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Bible tells us prophetically in Isaiah about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "I set my face like a flint," referring to Calvary and to Jerusalem. He was focused on what he was supposed to do. He was going to finish his work. And I'm here to tell you something. You say, what makes up productivity? How do you make up productivity? Here's how you make it up. You manage your time and you manage your attention. You manage. There's this realm called your time. And there's this other realm called your attention. And when you properly manage your time and when you properly manage your attention, where these two things overlap, that's productivity. Where you can take your time and take your attention and line them up and focus them in a direction where you're actually doing things that matter. And watching cats dance on YouTube doesn't matter. And you think I'm joking, but there's all sorts of studies of people. How much time Americans waste watching animals dance on YouTube? And then they wonder why they don't have a good marriage. And then they wonder why their kids hate them. And then they wonder why they're failing at their jobs. I'm just here to tell you something. Success and productivity is not something that happens. It's something that you create. Amen. We talked about the meaning of productivity. And we talked about the makeup of productivity. Look, we've got to be people who get to work. Let me just quickly deal with this. I wrote it in my notes here as the question that haunts me. This is a question that I was asked years ago. To be very honest with you, I'll just tell you, I've been asked this same question two different times in my life. Two different times by two different people in two different seasons of life. They didn't ask the question word for word. These individuals did not even know each other. But they asked the same kind of question. And it's haunted me, to be honest with you. Because I'm afraid that people think this. And it has to do with young ladies. And when I'm talking about young ladies, I'm talking about young ladies who are maybe still living at home, who've graduated high school, they're done with high school, they're done with their schoolwork, and maybe they're not married, but they're still living at home. Or even young ladies who have recently gotten married, so they're now living within their marriage, but they don't have children yet. I was asked this question by a mother who had a young lady who's done with high school, had not married yet, and was concerned about her. And I was asked this question by a young man who was recently married, and he had a wife, didn't have children yet, was at home. And the question is this, because the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:14, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." And I believe that. And I believe and I teach that the Bible says that the God's will, "I will therefore," for the younger women, God's will is for them to marry, to bear children, to guide the house. I don't believe it's God's will for women to go off to work and have careers. If you disagree with that, that's between you and God. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And if you find yourself you're a single mom or something like that, and you find yourself in a situation where you don't have a choice, I'm not beating up on you. I'm just telling you, in God's perfect will, women would stay home and raise their children, have children, guide the house. Here's the question that haunts me. Because both of these questions were worded in this way. My, fill in the blank, says Pastor Jimenez, that because you teach that women are not supposed to go to work, then my teenage daughter, who's done with high school, wants to just sleep all day and do nothing because she's not supposed to work. Or my new bride, Pastor Jimenez, wants to roll out of bed at 11 every day and do nothing all day because you said she's not supposed to go to work. And this question haunts me because here's the answer to the question. I never said that. Right. You say, what did you say? Here's what I said. Young ladies don't need to go to a secular job. That does not equate young ladies need to be sleeping till noon all day, doing nothing and getting nothing done all day. Those are two different things. You say, well, what do you think that young ladies, you know, if they're done with school, they don't have children, you're saying they can't go get a secular job. Hey, let me explain something to you. There's lots of ways you can work and not have a secular job. Amen. You need some examples? I've got a list you can sign up for. Amen. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do. But let me help you understand something. Never, ever, ever has this guy said that it's appropriate for some young person who doesn't have a job to just do nothing all day, sleep all day, be watching YouTube videos of cats dancing all day. You didn't get that from me. And if you think you got that from me, then let me know, because I can find a Monday cleaning crew, a Saturday cleaning crew, a Sunday cleaning crew. I can find mailing lists and mailers. I can find all sorts of things that will keep you busy all day, because the Bible says that we're supposed to work. Amen. Now, if you want to let your wife be lazy, you go ahead and let your wife be lazy, but don't put that on me.
That's right.
Don't say I taught that or I said that or I gave you that idea. I didn't give you that idea. Amen. Let me tell you something. We believe in work around here. When I was 18 years old, I got married. And I don't recommend that. I'm just telling you that's the reality of our lives. We got married. I got married 2 weeks after I graduated high school. My wife and I were 18 years old. We did not have our first child till we were in 21. And I don't recommend that either. I'm just telling you that's what we were taught and that's what we were told. But let me explain something to you. When we were 18 and 19 and 20 and 21 years old, before we had children, my wife and this was a different church with different philosophies, and I understand that, but our church had a bus ministry. We were bus captains. We ran a bus that brought 70 people to church every week, and most people try to bring children to church. We brought adults and teenagers and children to church every week, 70 people. We had the bus that went the furthest away, which means that we got to the church building at 6 a.m. before anyone else, before full-time staff and paid staff and the pastor. We got to the church building at 6 a.m., get our bus started, get our bus warmed up so we could be on the road at 6:15 with our bus driver. We brought 70 people to church. We came back after Sunday, after dropping everybody off. I would preach a sermon on the bus that I would prepare every week. We'd get back around 2:30 or 3. My wife and I would go and have literally $3 lunch at Taco Bell back in those days when you could do that. And we'd be back at the church building at 5 p.m. for choir practice. We were in choir. We ran a bus. We led the children's ministries on Wednesday night. We led the soul winning ministry. I printed all the maps for the soul winning and did all of the soul winning training. My wife taught as a kindergarten teacher in the Christian school while working a part-time job at Target. So please let me explain something to you. No, I don't think some 19 and 20-year-old needs to just be sleeping all day, doing nothing all day. I don't believe that. I think you should be working. I think everyone should be working. I think we should be productive with our lives. Now, you let your teenage daughters do whatever you want them to do. That's between you and God. I'm just telling you, don't put that on me. I didn't say that. You say, what are your daughters going to do when they're teenagers? Working. I don't want them going to some secular college and getting brainwashed, but that doesn't mean they can't take appropriate classes online. That doesn't mean they can't be a virtuous woman and run a business, a legitimate business from their home. That's the other thing. Everybody wants to, oh, I'm going to start my business. And what that means is they sit at the computer and watch cats dance all day. And they call it a business. You know, my son started a flyer delivery business. It's a legitimate business. They have a business license. They have all the things that are needed to have this business. I mean, they just got a 5,000 flyer contract for 5 weeks. Amen. Because of their advertisement. I mean, it's a legit business. So please understand this, because sometimes you say, oh, I work from home. And people think, oh, I work from home. And it's like, no, you don't. You don't do anything. Get jobs. Make sales. Make money. Learn. Learn a language. Go soul winning. You know we have 3 soul winning times around here? Now, I don't expect a mom with 5 kids that she's homeschooling to show up to Thursday soul winning and Friday soul winning and Saturday soul winning. I didn't say that. If people show up for soul winning once a week and they're living in that season of life, praise God for them. But if you're just like, I have nothing to do, we can find something for you to do. I'm talking about the meaning of productivity. What does it mean? Productivity has to do with getting things done, which requires getting work done. But it doesn't have to do with being busy all day. It has to do with what you're actually getting done. We talked about the makeup of productivity. What's the makeup of productivity? It's managing your time and managing your attention. Time is finite and time is fleeting. Your attention is finite and your attention is fleeting. And if you can focus these two things on a regular basis, you'll get a lot done. And then number 3, Let's talk about the motivation for productivity. The motivation for productivity. Go back to Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter 12. It already, laziness just in general pisses me off. And then when people try to put it on me, like, well, you taught! No, I did not. I did not teach that. The motivation for productivity. Letter A. Let's talk to two groups. If you're not busy, and if you are. What should motivate you? Let's talk to two groups. Because here's the truth. There are some people in their lives, and I'm not saying this in a critical way or a cynical way. There are some people who are just not that busy. And then there are other people who are super busy. Now, you may not be busy, and that's not your fault. It's just your season of life. You know, maybe you did just get married. You don't have children. You just have a lot of time. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's not waste it. Maybe you've raised your children. Your children are grown and out of the house. You've retired, and you just find yourself having a lot of time on your hands. Hey, praise God. Let's not waste it. But, you know, other people are super busy. And I'll just be honest with you. You know, my wife and I, we are busy. Sometimes people want to act like, and please don't, I'm not trying to offend you, and I'm not talking to anybody specifically right now. I'm not thinking about anybody. But sometimes people act like they want to be like our best friends or something and just spend all this time with us. Just realize, I'm a pastor, and she's a pastor's wife of a growing church. We have 6 children that are being homeschooled. We don't just have all this free time. We're just bored and trying to figure out what to do. Now, we appreciate you invite us over for dinner. We appreciate that, and we like that. And I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, the state in life we're in right now, we're just treading water. I mean, can I just be honest with you? We're just trying to keep our heads above water. There's just so much to do and so much to get accomplished. We just don't have hobbies. We don't have time to just waste a bunch of time. Now, one day our kids will be grown and out of the house, and we'll have probably lots of time to do a lot of stuff. I'm just telling you, different people find themselves in different seasons of life. So let me talk real quickly to those of you that are just not that busy. You just don't have a lot going on. No problem. But here's what should motivate you to be productive. What should motivate you is the realization that being productive is the key difference between highly successful people and those who are not. Are you there in Proverbs? Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. Look, this isn't always the case. This is not always true. I understand this. But by and large, your boss is your boss because he works harder than you. By and large, that guy you keep criticizing, oh, I see the manager. Why did he get the promotion? Why? Probably because he picks up the phone when you don't pick up the phone. Probably because he stays late when you don't stay late. Probably because he shows up early when you don't show up early. Probably because he's just a better worker than you are. Can we just be honest? Being productive is the key difference between highly successful people and those who work for them. And those who are not. The Bible says the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. Don't miss it. But the slothful shall be under tribute. The slothful will be the ones that are being, the rule is being bore upon. Go to Proverbs 22, look at verse 29. Proverbs 22, verse 29. Proverbs 22, 29, notice what the Bible says. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? That word diligent means a hard worker, effective, efficient, productive. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? Notice what the Bible says. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Now, when the Bible says he shall stand before kings, it's talking about he's gonna stand before a certain category of individuals. Leaders, people with authority, kings. And then the Bible says he shall not stand before mean men. Now, you might, if you're not aware of the word mean, the meaning of the word mean there, you might think mean like someone who's not nice. That's not what the word mean there means. The word mean is actually a mathematical term, which means average. It is the mathematical term or the arithmetic definition of the word mean, like when somebody says the mean number is the average number. When the Bible says here that he shall not stand before mean men, it says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before average men. Why? Because productive people are not average. Because being productive is the key difference between highly successful people and those who are average. And those who are not. Go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, look at verse 9. Proverbs 18 and verse 9. Proverbs 18 and verse 9, the Bible says, he also that is slothful in his work. Slothful means lazy. He also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. Why don't you notice, the Bible says that being a sloth or lazy and being a great waster, they go hand in hand. They're siblings. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. You say, why? Because lazy people waste time. Because lazy people waste opportunity. Because lazy people waste energy. Obviously, I don't do this because I'm a pastor and I'm good at it. I'm not going to walk up to people and tell them everything. Sometimes I want to walk up to people and just ask them, like, what do you do all day? I mean, you barely show up to church. You don't go soul winning. You don't serve in any area. What do you do all day? Here's what I know. Slothful people are great wasters. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. And look, I'm not going to ask you that, but you should ask yourself this question. What do I do all day? So if you're not busy, you're just not in that season of life, you don't have a lot going on, great, praise the Lord. I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you, don't waste your opportunity. Don't waste your time and your energy and your resources and your youth and the opportunities that God has given you. Sometimes young people, they, you know, you say, why do you tell these stories about the things you did when you were 18-year-old? Here's why. Because young people walk up to me and they're like, Pastor, I want to be like you. I want to be able to preach at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. I want to be able to teach a soul-winning seminar. I want to be able to do this and do that. Okay, great. But you know, years and years and years and years and years before I ever got up and filmed a soul-winning seminar, I was training soul winners for free. Amen. For nothing. Just for the love of soul winning. Years and years and years and years before I got paid to lead a church, I was showing up to church and helping a pastor at 6 a.m. on Sunday mornings till 3 p.m. and going to Sunday night church and going to Wednesday night church, and we were just serving. Even when I was in the Air Force and we were at a different church, my wife and I started a Spanish ministry that brought in 30 and sometimes 40 people. Amen. I'm just telling you, we weren't just sitting around doing nothing. We were working. We were laboring. So don't waste your time. Because part of me wonders if God has allowed us and blessed us in this season of our lives when we're super busy because we gave him our time when we weren't busy. But then let me talk to you who are busy. Maybe you're like me and you're like, I've got 7 kids and I'm overwhelmed and I've got, look, I get that. You got little kids, just give it 5-7 years, you know, give it 10 years, it'll get better. If you're busy, here's the motivation for you. You say, I'm too busy to be productive. I always think it's funny when people tell me, I'm too poor to have a budget. Look, when you don't have a lot of money, you really need a budget. Because you don't have a lot of money. So you need to make every dollar count. Well, when you don't have a lot of time, you need to make every minute count. Brother RJ preached about working in our Saturday morning rally, and he quoted the song, give every flying minute something to keep in store. So if you're busy, what's the motivation? Here's the motivation. Being productive will help you accomplish everything you have to do in less time so that you can focus more on what really matters. See, I got too much going on. Okay, then learn to be highly productive. Learn to manage your time well. Manage your focus well. Get off of all these things that are going to distract you and focus on the things that matter the most and get them done. And you can go to bed every day realizing that I accomplished what I needed to get done. And I produce what needed to get done in maybe even less time than was expected. And I can focus on the things that matter the most. Psalm 90, if you would. You're there in Proverbs. We're going to go to Psalms, and then we'll go to James, and we'll be done, okay? We'll be done in 5 minutes. Psalm 90. Psalm 90, if you want to find James, towards the end of the New Testament, you go backwards from Revelation. You have Jude, 32nd verse, John, 2nd verse, Peter, James. James 4, Psalm 90. You're there in Proverbs. Just flip back. Psalm 90, verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. Don't miss this little phrase. Sometimes there's just these statements that I feel like they just jump out at me. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Let me ask you something. What story is your life telling? What will people say about you when your life is done? See, we spend our years writing a story. People don't realize this. We spend our years writing a story, and here's what dads do. They spend all their time doing selfish things, and then they wonder why their adult children are just resentful towards them or say, oh, my dad wasn't a very good dad. Hey, you spent your years as a tale that is told. You say, what do you want people to say about you when you're gone? Well, I want my kids to say that I love them and I spend time with them. Okay, well, then you better love them and spend time with them if that's what you want them to say. I want people to say that I love souls and I got people saved and I help them get baptized and I disciple them. Okay, then show up for soul winning and do that. But wanting that and not doing that is never going to accomplish it. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. Here's what he's saying. You're only going to live a limited amount of time, maybe to 70. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, if you live to 80, and with modern medicine, you know, maybe you live to 90 or 100, here's the point. You're not going to live for 500 years. You're going to die at some point. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is, no matter how healthy you are, no matter how long you live, it is soon cut off. And if you're saved, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Verse 12. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, because our time is limited, and because our time is it's finite and it's fleeting, we don't have a lot of it. Even if you live for a long time, it's still going to be soon cut off. There's not a lot of it. So here, the psalmist says in verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And remember, the Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So here's a question. On your deathbed, what will you regret not doing? On your deathbed, what will you regret that you wanted to do, you should have done, but you didn't do? Or what will you regret that you did too much of and you probably should have done less of it? Because death is this great clarifier. When we stare down death, and if people stare down death, perspective comes in, and the realization of what I should have done and should have done becomes very clear. But the thing is, when you get that realization at death, it's too late. We're soon cut off. So you know what a wise person does? A wise person looks ahead before death, realizing time is limited, realizing time is fleeing, realizing time is finite. And they say, what will I do with my time? How will I focus my attention? How will I manage my time? Go to James chapter 4. We'll be done. James 4, 13. We're talking about productivity. Here's the question. Are you a productive person? So while Arthur goes, okay, answer this question. What have you gotten done? I mean, some of you should go home and pull out a piece of paper and say, and I say, I'm going to jot down everything that I've gotten done this week. Did you read your Bible this week? No, I mean, I meant to, but you show up for soul winning? Well, I wasn't feeling well. Did you show up for church? Well, I was tired. Let me let you know a little secret. We're all tired. Let me let you know a little secret. None of us are feeling well. Let me let you know a little secret. Nobody wants to go to work. We go to work, and we do what we do because we want to focus on something more than just ourselves. Because if you only live for self, at the end of your life, all you will have is yourself. And that's a sad way to end your life. James 4:13. Go to now, ye that say, because nobody says, I want to be lazy. Nobody says that. You know what they say? They say, today or tomorrow I will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You know how you know someone's lazy? Is when they're constantly telling you what they're going to do. Don't tell me what you're going to do. Tell me what you're doing. They don't tell you what they're doing. You know why? Because they're not doing anything. Telling you what you're going to do. So here's what James says. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. He says, here's the truth. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know that you're going to have the health. You don't know that you're going to have the life. You don't know that you're going to have the resources. So you better just do it now. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. And then here's the question Brother RJ brought up in his sermon as well. For what is your life? That's a great question. I mean, think about that. What is your life? What is life? Is it the stuff you'll leave behind? Is that what life is? When you die, we'll go and look at the cars and the clothes and the jewelry and we'll say, well, this was their life. Is that what life is? I mean, honestly, answer the question, what is life? And if you ask the question, what is life? You know what you'll come to inevitably? It's time and energy, attention, opportunities, resources. So we've got to ask the question, what is your life? What are you doing with your life? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I hope you'll make a decision to be productive. Hey, you homeschool moms, I hope you homeschool your children. But here's what I mean by that. I don't hope you run around all day like a chicken with your head cut off, busy all day but not accomplishing anything. Actually, teach those kids something. I hope you go to work, men, and not just be running from here to there, shifting papers from there to there, busy all day. No, get something done. Look at your time. Look at the time you have off of work. Look at the days you have off of work and ask yourself, what am I doing with my time? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd help us to be productive people. The problem with a sermon like this is that the people who are already productive get it. And the ones who aren't just goes over their head. I pray you'd help us to be productive. Help us to be able to get to the end of our lives like the Apostle Paul and say, I have finished my course with joy. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the time, the strength, the resources, the ability. Help us to put it to work. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.